I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about an initiative to make Hoosiers more aware of and receptive to the health benefits of eating seafood. Indianapolis has been chosen as one of two inland cities to be part of a Seafood for Better Health campaign. We'll discuss the campaign and the reasons Indianapolis was chosen. My guests will be Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership, Norman McCowan of Bell Aquaculture, and registered dietitian Kim Galliez. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the statehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about the benefits of seafood. Indianapolis is part of a campaign to promote seafood for better health. And we're going to talk about the reasons for that and also the reasons seafood might be good for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, my guests are Norman McCowan of Bell Aquaculture. I keep wanting to say agriculture. And registered dietitian Kim Galliez, who's returning to the show as a veteran. And joining us by phone is Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you, John.
It's good to have you all.
Thank you, John.
Certainly. It's good to have you all here. Well, I'm going to start, Norman, with you. Talk to me a little bit about what this campaign is, this initiative.
Well, you know, John, here in the Midwest, we've got a lot of agriculture, and it's funny that you say agriculture instead of aquaculture, but in the state of Indiana, aquaculture is seen as agriculture. And knowing that we need to eat more seafood according to USDA guidelines, it's just really trying to spread the word and the knowledge and educate people on what we have here in Indiana.
Hey. Linda, tell me about how Indianapolis got to be selected as part of this campaign.
Well, John, for Seafood Nutrition Partnership, our goal is to conduct a national public health campaign to build awareness for Americans to eat seafood twice a week. And the benefits for eating seafood twice a week are tremendously supported by scientific studies on helping to reduce the risk of heart disease deaths by about 30 to 50%. And improving our brain development from when we're babies to when we're older. And so we chose Indianapolis as one of our pilot cities because as we're looking at the state of health based on science from organizations such as Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention, the prevalence for heart disease and obesity and diabetes were the greatest right in the middle of the country and in the South. And so we wanted to choose a city that, you know, has a really great care for the community and awareness for me to build more health and wellness programs in the community and a willingness to partner with all the different organizations within the city to come together and bring a health and wellness program to the citizens of Indianapolis.
Kim, tell me a little bit about then. We've made the case for why Indianapolis was chosen and, you know, how this campaign might work. Why is seafood so good for us?
So many different reasons, John. First of all, we know that there is scientific evidence to show that the omega-3s, which is a type of polyunsaturated fat within the fish, can actually support better cardiovascular health. But I always like to say it's not just the omega-3s, it's also all the other nutrients that are in fish. You know, it's a phenomenal source of protein, and protein is what's being studied to determine your ability to feel full or satiated. It has all kinds of vitamins and minerals that really do help your overall optimal health. It has B vitamins, zinc, iron, selenium. These support your immune system, your cell growth, and really do help your brain health and your eye health as well. So it's really great to be able to say, hey, eat more seafood. That's a real positive message rather than a negative message.
We are talking about the health benefits of eating seafood, and as part of a new campaign that's being conducted here in Indianapolis. And the other city, Linda, is Memphis, right?
Right. That's the other city of Memphis, Tennessee. And we were just there yesterday kicking off a similar campaign in the city.
And why were those two cities chosen? I mean, what do they have in common?
Well, the two cities were chosen because, one, as I mentioned before, we wanted to go right to the heart of the issue of treating heart disease and helping the citizens of both cities be able to address the risks of heart disease. Also, we do have relationships with both cities. I've lived in Memphis, Tennessee for about 4 years ago and was vice president for the Memphis Chamber of Commerce and started the farmers market there in downtown Memphis. So I have strong relationships in that city. In Indianapolis, one of the hometown heroes for Indy is Detlef Schrempf, mm-hmm. who is on my board of directors and is very involved in getting this public health message out. So he will be joining us at the kickoff tomorrow for our campaign here in Indianapolis.
We are talking about a new campaign to encourage Hoosiers, and particularly those in Indianapolis, to eat more seafood. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, Linda, could you tell me a little bit about what the Seafood Nutrition Partnership is?
Definitely, John. The Seafood Nutrition Partnership is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we were formed about 2 years ago to help promote the dietary guidelines for Americans to eat seafood twice a week. That was the first time that our dietary guidelines included seafood in our recommendations, and unfortunately, that message is not getting out. It requires a bit more public awareness to help Americans understand that. As a background, the number of Americans that eat seafood twice a week is only 1 in 5. And through our research also backed up by Harvard Medical School, about 30% of Americans eat seafood once in a while, and about 50% of Americans hardly eat it at all. And so we wanted to choose a city that would be open to health and wellness messages, and we did conduct some research with women in Indianapolis and Memphis that were 35 to 50, and really try to understand what the obstacles were to eating more seafood. And we've learned that they really do feel seafood is special, but unfortunately, they feel a lack of confidence in terms of knowing how to buy seafood, how to order it, how to cook it, and really make it a part of their daily healthy meals. So that's what we hope to accomplish, is to be able to build the public health awareness campaign through our mission and build partnerships with organizations within not just seafood, but healthcare, other health-oriented nonprofits, organizations, government officials, to really build a coalition of support on the ground to help everyone understand that healthy eating is easy and delicious and anyone can do it and afford it.
Kim, what accounts for that? That indicates there is a penetration problem when it comes to seafood. What accounts for that resistance to people?
I don't know
eating?
If I know the exact answer. It's probably a variety of things, but I know myself. I'm from Illinois originally. You know, being landlocked like that, I wasn't exposed to a lot of fish other than the every Friday night catfish, fish fry, in the small town. But I think that we are a big agriculture state with pork. We all love our pork and our bacon, and there are lean cuts of pork. We like beef as well. And all of these things can be part of a smart heart, smart healthy diet. But I think the seafood, it is a hurdle with knowing what to buy, how much to buy, how to cook it, and it just seems so much different. And you know what? I love to share with people that it doesn't need to be. In fact, you may not realize that cooking your fish is so easy, and it could be actually easier than cooking beef and pork. You just use the less than 10 minutes per inch rule. That means for every inch of thickness, it probably only takes 8 to 10 minutes to cook. And it's done when you pierce it with the very tip of a knife or a little bit of a fork, and it flakes easily as well. And talk about fast. If that piece of fish is an inch thick, why, you've got 10 minutes max there on that preparation. And you can do all kinds of preparation in addition to fried. I know we're a big fried state, but let's think of the more heart-healthy versions. Broil, bake, grill, oven roast.
We are talking about the benefits of eating seafood here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Jean, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling because I wonder where I can purchase fresh fish in Indianapolis. We are real fans of fish. My husband's from Los Angeles, so the availability of fish in on a coast is quite different than here in Indy, and we just really don't know where to get it.
Well, we'll see if we can get an answer for you, Norman.
Yeah.
Thank you. Take my answer off the
line? Certainly, certainly. Thanks very much for calling.
Well, when you're looking at our Bell Farms brand of steelhead, you can purchase that at Kaplinger's there on the north side. They serve a lot of great fresh seafood there at their market, and that's on the northeast side there.
Okay, so is that part of the problem?
Yeah, Kim? John, may I answer?
Yeah,
that
Lynn, please. Yes, please, Linda.
I think for that is one of the most common questions for Americans is where to find seafood, and we are trying to help them remember that seafood comes in the forms of fresh, frozen, and canned, and that right now there is flash frozen at sea technologies where the fish is caught in the ocean and frozen right there on the ship, and so frozen seafood at many times is a much safer and appropriate means to have seafood in your freezer, and you can defrost it in under 15 minutes. And as Kim said, you can also cook it in under 15 minutes. And so I think, your local grocers would have fresh frozen and canned, and definitely Bell Aquaculture has great supply of seafood that's in aquaculture form here in Indianapolis. And so it's really fascinating to hear people not realize where it's located in the supermarket. And that has been supported by our research when we asked women to go into the supermarkets to buy seafood. And they came back and said, I had to ask where it was because I just hadn't been familiar with how to buy it. So the obstacles for buying and eating seafood are there, but they are overcomable when we come together as partners in Indianapolis to help build this message and awareness.
Kim, you've got a map, actually, that shows some places.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to mention this because the Indiana Soybean Alliance, they represent all the soybean farmers throughout the state of Indiana, and through their checkoff program, the soybean farmers are supporting research for aquaculture, and they have really instituted a lot of aquaculture within the state, and Norm's Bell Farms is listed on this fabulous map for the entire state of Indiana, as well as all the other places that do aquaculture within the state. And anyone can go to the indianasoybean.com. Is it .com? I just had a brain freeze. Is it .com or .org?
And putting his bifocals on.
It's .com. It's indianasoybean.com. And you can actually go to the aquaculture tab, and then you can download the map yourself and see all the individual fish suppliers throughout the state, and then go to their websites and see if they sell directly or online or where you can possibly get it.
And Kim, I want to stay with you for a second. It occurs to me as I'm listening to this, because it seems like this idea of being able to trust the source and all of that is crucial to it. How much of this, the resistance, the penetration problem that Linda talked about, the fact that not as many people eat fish as should, comes the fact that for at least many Midwesterners, their introduction to the idea of eating fish was probably in a school lunch, with a breaded fish stick that may have been, somewhere within the past century. caught and prepared, and that is what they thought of as seafood or of eating fish for a long time, and that there's that notion they have to get past, Kim.
Yeah, I think, you know, more breading than fish was in that breaded fish stick. But I think,
and it's hard to make an argument that it was healthy, probably.
I mean, it was probably pretty high in fat. And the other thing I forgot to mention about the nutrition of seafood is that's so incredibly low in saturated fat, that type of fat that's so detrimental to increasing your risk of heart disease. I think if people realize they can do anything with fish, they can oven roast it, they can grill it, they can bake it, they can broil it, and they can use all the flavor profiles that they currently use for all of their favorite foods. You can do a Latino Hispanic flavor, an Asian type flavor. You can do a barbecue. You can do a Chinese five spice. You can do anything you want with fish that you would do with all of your other meats, marinades, rubs, so on.
We are talking about the benefits of eating seafood here on No Limits. My guests are Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership, Norman McCallum of Bell Aquaculture, and registered dietitian Kim Galliez. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the benefits of eating seafood. Indianapolis is part of a new campaign called Seafood for Better Health. We've been talking about the reasons the city has been chosen and what the benefits might be for eating seafood. My guests are Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership, Norman McCallum of Bell Aquaculture, and registered dietitian Kim Galliez. Well, we were talking just beforehand. You were saying that seafood can be eaten in many different ways, Kim. And I think we've got someone who's got a question about that. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
One of your panelists mentioned that seafood is a special dish for people in our area. And for me, the limiting factor on eating more seafood is the price of it. It's pretty expensive being here in the Midwest, but I love seafood. So how can we get people to spend the money to eat more seafood?
Well, Norman or Linda, I think that one's pitched more toward the two of you. Linda, you want to take a crack at it first?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think that is definitely one of the barriers, and also at some points perceived barriers for eating seafood is the price. And I'd like to tell people that seafood can be had for a dollar and up per serving. And that's because for seafood options, I think there are purchasing strategies that we should build an awareness for. A lot of times when we have a recipe and it calls for one type of fish, we'll just go to the counter and say, I want that type of fish. And when in fact, fish has a season, and a better approach may be to go to the counter and find out from the fish counter what's in season, and look at the different prices and cook and start from the piece of fish rather than the recipe. The other strategy that we're teaching is that, you know, the frozen, as I mentioned before, is a much more economic option, and also canned seafood that many times in the European countries, they have a culture of eating these fantastic canned seafood, whether it's tuna, mussels, octopus, but we just don't have that taste cultivated yet. But that's definitely a very economic, friendly option. And, in Indianapolis and Indiana, you have a great thriving industry of aquaculture. And so by being right in your backyard, that's also a very cost-effective option for seafood.
We've also gotten an email from a listener named Brent, and if you'd like to reach out to us via email, you can do so by sending your email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Brent says, I love seafood and am comfortable purchasing and preparing it. I'm trying to get my wife to eat it for health benefits, but she complains about the texture. Any suggestions, Kim?
You know what? I'd say try not to get her to eat it anymore. If she doesn't like the texture, you aren't going to convince somebody. And I'm a very practical dietitian, and I will tell you this much. My husband does not like the texture of eggplant. He does not like the texture of many, many foods, including seafood. You cannot make someone eat something that they don't want to eat. Have her get her omega-3s from different sources. They may not be that DHA and EPA fish-based type, but they would be the ALA type, which would be from walnuts, canola and soybean oil, flaxseed. Soybeans themselves have some omega-3s. So, I mean, I know it's hard. I'm not about over-convincing people that they absolutely have to eat something they don't like the flavor of. That said, have you tried cooking it where you can flake it and put it in tacos? And then you add other ingredients to it. When you start adding other things to it like that, does it sort of take away from just eating a fish fillet? Norm, I know your fabulous Bell Farms trout that I just created a recipe for. I used a pineapple salsa with it. So when you put the pineapple salsa on top of it, the question I'd ask is, do you notice the texture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth trying. It's worth trying. But then on the other hand, I wouldn't recommend over persuading someone.
We've also gotten an email from a listener named Bob, and I think this one's coming your way, Norman. It says, are there any programs to help farmers get started with aquaculture? Following the caller comments about freshness, I believe an effective marketing program could be generated by locally produced seafood. So let's take the first part. Are there any programs?
There is a few programs. You know, we've gotten a lot of support from the Indiana Soybean Alliance people. Also, there is a little bit of support from the USDA. But I think the largest support to get into aquaculture is the people that are in it. Mm-hmm. We actually assist a lot of other facilities in getting started in the industry. And one of the unique things about Indiana, when you look at our aquaculture industry, we have over 50 companies now here in Indiana. We do about $37 million of output, and we create 280 jobs in the state. And with that, there's so many great partners in this industry in Indiana that we'd be glad to reach out, help you, whether it be on the financing side. We now have a feed mill that we've started at our Bell Aquaculture site in Delaware County. We can offer nutrition. There's just a lot of great collaboration between the aquaculture players here in Indiana.
We've gotten a question from a listener, or a comment from a listener via Facebook. And if you want to reach out to us that way, you can do so at No Limits WFYI on Facebook. This is from Michael. It says, as with the factory production of animals for meat, the factory production of fish and other aquatic animals for seafood is environmentally unsustainable. Not to mention that most of our oceans, lakes, and rivers are vastly overfished and have been so polluted that any fish taken from them are full of toxic chemicals. Being a vegetarian is the best choice for the planet's future. Linda, I'm going to give you the first shot at that one, but I'm guessing Kim is going to want to jump in, too.
And Norman.
And it looks like Norman. Everybody wants a piece of that one. Okay.
I think that is another part of the awareness building in terms of the sustainability of seafood and the safety of seafood. You know, the world is demanding more seafood, and for us to provide more sustainable seafood for the future, aquaculture now makes up more than 50% of the production around the world. And so, you know, when you talk about being able to have more seafood, as we have better practices for aquaculture and more companies are able to get established and grow and feed more people, that really will be the way to supply more seafood for our citizens in our cities. And I do want to give NOAA, who manages our fisheries in the U.S., for making sure that our seafood here in the U.S. is sustainable. Mm-hmm. And as seafood is imported into the country, it is tested for safety. And so the products that you see at the stores have been tested to make sure that they're safe and that they're safe for you to consume, and they're also delicious. And so I think there is a confusion in terms of how sustainable our stock is, and it is a very understandable concern because seafood is the last wild caught protein. Everything else is farmed. We've got beef and cattle, beef and pork and chicken. And, you know, we never talk about wild cows is because seafood is the last wild protein. And so we have that, you know, extra concern. I do want to quote one more statistics for you that from the United Nations FAO organization, they do measure the sustainability of our oceans. And the last 2 years even, the sustainability has improved from 68% to 71%. So all of us are trying to make sure that there are better practices for sustainability, and it's up to us to make sure that we understand how seafood is healthy for our health, and the more we eat it, the better able the producers of seafood can help to prepare and produce it for the future.
Kim and Norman, I'm going to give you both real quick. We've got calls and emails and other things backed up like, you know, an L.A. rush hour right now. So I want to give everybody a chance to get in on the conversation. Kim,
I'll just simply say that there's a lot of misconception with seafood safety and what's in the seafood, whether it's wild caught or the farmed fish, which is extremely safe, regulated. And I just want to encourage people to get the accurate facts. And you can go to FDA.gov and get some great information on mercury in our fish and other information. And the thing is, the bottom line is, that the benefits of eating seafood far outweigh any small amount that you would get in your seafood if you're concerned about it. And in fact, when it's farmed, it may not even have any of those things. And, you know, pregnant women, breastfeeding women, women that want to have babies, those are the ones that need to avoid just four particular kinds of fish on a regular basis. Everybody else, we're encouraged to eat that.
Which
8
four?
To 12.
Which
oh,
one?
The four. It's a king mackerel. I always have to look. Tilefish from the Gulf of Mexico, shark, and swordfish. Those four are the ones recommended that they not consume. Other than that, highly encouraged to eat seafood.
Okay, Norman, real quickly.
Well, when you look at Indiana aquaculture, there's quite a few of our facilities that we don't use antibiotics, we don't use hormones. We hold ourselves to a standard that's third-party audited, and we're all about growing the purest form of protein there is available. And that's just accredited through third-party certifications even.
We are talking about the health benefits of eating seafood here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Liz, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, two things. I wanted to answer the inquiry from the woman in who had moved here from the coast and was looking for fresh seafood. I happen to work at Goose the Market, which is at 25th and Delaware. It's a locally owned and run and sort of sustainability-focused shop, and we bring in seafood every single Friday. You make your order by 4 p.m. on Thursday. You can do that by phone at 317-924-4944.
Okay.
So that's from a sort of mercenary point of view.
And
then I also did have a question that was mostly answered about the sustainability of seafood, but also want to make folks aware, and perhaps your panel has opinions one way or the other about this organization, of seafoodwatch.org. Where if consumers are concerned about the sustainability of their seafood choices, that is a place where they can find out, you know, where individual species are on the food chain and some of the benefits and costs, you know, analysis of eating farmed versus wild-caught fish. So,
okay, thanks very much.
On a couple of resources.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Liz. I'm going to let Norman respond to seafoodwatch.org.
You know, she made a great comment there. We do partner with seafoodwatch.org. It's a program that's offered by Monterey Bay Aquarium that really certifies a sustainable source of seafood. And that was one of the accreditations that I was talking about earlier, just so people are aware of that sustainable seafood choice.
We've also gotten an email from a listener that speaks to one of the foods that, that Kim said pregnant women should not eat. It says, I am unable to find shark anywhere. I used to be able to get it special ordered. Is this because of the shark fin soup controversy? Linda, I'm going to throw that one your way. First, we probably ought to tell people what the shark fin soup controversy was.
I'm actually not sure why you can't find shark in the local supermarket. It's probably not something that's demanded by Americans. In Asia, there is a delicacy where it's a shark fin soup, and I believe the fins are taken from the shark, and that's all they use for the soup. So I don't know much more beyond that controversy.
Norman?
Well, the other thing is the four fish that Kim talked about are all predator fish. They're the predator fish that eat the smaller fish with the higher inclusions of mercury in those. So I think that's part of the concern as well there.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Elizabeth. And again, if you want to reach out to us and join the conversation via email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. She says seafood, wild fish in our oceans are being fished out of the sea at unprecedented and unsustainable rates. Farmed fish in the Midwest being fed soybeans is wholly unnatural and produces fish that do not have the equivalent health benefits as wild-caught fish. Can you please speak to both of these points, Kim?
Ooh, Norman might have to address that as well, since he is an aquaculture expert having his own business up there. They do have benefits. While they may not have as much omega-3 like the ones out in the ocean, they are going to have a little bit of omega-3. And that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that all your fish anyway, even if it's wild-caught, has varying amounts of omega-3s. But they all have a phenomenal source of protein. They are all extremely low saturated fat. They all have those wonderful nutrients, B vitamins, selenium, iron, magnesium, potassium, and so on, that can provide so many benefits beyond heart health. So I would encourage people to look at it from that point of view.
The other aspect of that is, you know, you are what you eat. And we feed fish a diet that makes that fish high on omega-3s. It is not unnatural that soybeans are used to feed fish. It is the number one source of protein in the world to feed fish. Fish don't know protein. They know flavor profiles. So we've done sensory panel analysis with Purdue University, and fish that are fed on a protein source of soybean versus fish meal, they could tell no difference in.
And the other thing I'd add is that if you're going to, you know, serve or feed the farm fish a lot of fish, that's where you get into a lot of expense. So then Norm and all the other fish suppliers in the state would have to charge more for their actual fish. So the soybean meal, which is a phenomenal source of all kinds of healthy fats and all kinds of nutrients, that's very cost-effective for providing that great protein.
We've also gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Kara. If you want to find us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits WFYI. She says, my family is vegetarian, so we do not eat any meat at all. One of the reasons we gave up seafood is because of the sustainability of the fish, sea life, and the overall health of the oceans. Overfishing, dead zones, and other concerns. Would like to hear panel talk about not just the benefits for human beings, but really what she's asking about is what is the impact on the ocean, on the environment here? Linda, I'll throw that one to you.
Oh, thanks, John. Sustainability practices continue to improve around the world, and I know that we have to find a way to feed the 9 billion people that will be here by 2050, and many of the countries around the world are implementing best practices so that their fisheries are better managed, and it's actually, seafood is a more environmentally friendly protein than other proteins, and so I think when we think about the overall picture of our food system, seafood is actually one of the best choices to eat. And I'll point to a couple of different efforts out there. For example, Oceana is also helping to promote people eating more seafood because they call seafood and fish the perfect protein. And what they're helping to do is making sure that countries around the different parts of the oceanic world are managing their fisheries. And so for us to understand how seafood is healthy for our health and at the same time managing it appropriately and sustainably is really the key to the future. And, we haven't always been as mindful of sustainability, but definitely in the last 20 years, you've seen an improvement in the focus of both the wild and farmed being sustainable. As well as we do need to give credit to the grocers and seafood suppliers in each city. They're adopting sustainability practices as well. And so one of the best things to do, along with having the Seafood Watch guideline, it doesn't cover all the seafood that's available in the market, and so that's just one of the limitations, is to talk to the grocer and ask them about their sustainability practice and ask them where their seafood comes from and talk to them, because it's there's over 1,825 species that are commercially available for people to buy, and it's very tough for any one guideline to offer all the answers for each species. And so it's just best to talk to the people that are selling it, and they want to sell you a good product and a healthy product.
We are talking about the benefits of eating seafood here on No Limits. My guests are Linda Cornish, Norman McCowan, and Kim Galiez. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the benefits of eating of eating seafood. Indianapolis is part of a new campaign called Seafood for Better Health. My guests are Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership, Norman McCowan of Bell Aquaculture, and registered dietitian Kim Galiez. We've gotten an email from a listener named Norm, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. Says, and this is for you, Norm. He wants. It's actually not from Norm. It's for you. It says, I recently just took a tour of Ball's facilities with a group of investors for an aquaculture startup. First, I was so impressed with your facilities. My question is, how do you think programs like this one in Indianapolis will help grow awareness of aquaculture and your goal of feeding the world's population? Also, can you touch on your facility's sustainability concerns? We keep hearing this word sustainability all the way through this conversation. Norm.
Yeah, when you look at our facility, we are an indoor facility. You know, and when you look at the amount of fish we grow, if you would do that in ponds, we can, in 1 acre, we grow what it takes about 100 acres to ponds. We also look at the aspect of the input side of the feeds, whether it's soybeans, whether it's algae, or some of the other protein-type sources to feed these fish that are really just cutting edge. To develop these facilities across Indiana, we've done a couple different initiatives trying to develop some aquaculture parks to bring some new species that we see coming into Indiana, like the freshwater eel that could be here within the next 12 months.
And we're in the course of building our list of places where you can buy fresh seafood, we've gotten an email from a listener named Ellen who says a great place to buy fresh seafood in a huge variety is Saraga International Market. It is on the west side near 38th and Lafayette. So we've gotten several options here. We've also gotten an email from a listener named Shirley who says, where would I find a list of what you refer to as seafood? To me, there was seafood and there is fish. Are you wanting us all to eat all of those types of food, as many fish or fresh water? So I've kind of classed seafood available in Indy as shrimp, lobster, scallops, and crab. And that is about all I think of for seafood. Anything else around here I just classify as fish. So not sure at one time on the program they call out seafood and other times they refer to fish. So I'd like to find a list of what you call each and if you are promoting only salt water or all fish. Thanks. Linda.
So seafood, for as our definition, includes fish, mollusks, and shellfish. And the reasons are that, you know, we're promoting the health benefits that come from eating seafood and the omega-3s, EPA, DHA from the seafood, as well as the lean protein and minerals and vitamins that Kim spoke about. And so all of those are very vital because our health organizations, such as the American Medical Association, American Heart, recommend that we eat about 250 milligrams of omega-3s, EPA, DHA a day. And one of the reasons for us having this public health campaign is because, on average, American adults are getting 90 milligrams a day, and kids in the U.S. are getting about 40 milligrams a day. And that is a crisis when you consider that when we're born, starting in the third trimester, half of our brains are omega-3s. And without that critical essential fatty acid, you won't be building the best brain possible. So we need to help our kids all the way to adults and seniors be equipped with this this vital nutrient. And, you know, that there are plant-based omega-3s as well, called ALA. The conversion rates to EPA, DHA are a bit lower, but it's still a good source to have. And so that's why it's so vital to include seafood. That's fish, mollusks, and shellfish.
We are talking about the benefits of eating seafood as part of a new campaign here in Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Just a couple quick comments. If health is the issue, then I think it would be better, energy would be better spent promoting a vegan diet. There are insurance companies actually will pay for a vegan diet in lieu of cardiovascular intervention because it's been proven to decrease the amount of atherosclerosis in coronary arteries. So if it's a health benefit, I think emphasis should be placed on trying to make vegan diets more available, educating people on vegan available foods and trying to promote the production of that. As for the issue of sustainability, I hear a lot of dancing around the issue about how damaging fishing is to the ocean and how that's improving. But the bottom line is taking protein, feeding it to animals, whether they be fish or cows or pigs, is much less efficient than eating that protein directly. And the impact on global warming and the environment itself is much, much less. So it's a bit of an oxymoron, in my opinion, to talk about sustainability. And as my last point, the intentions of the panel, I think, are all very good, and I don't know these people, but I do know by experience that when programs like this are put together, there's oftentimes strong business interests behind them. And I think I can't speak to that being the case in this particular situation, but it would be interesting to know who may be helping promote this particular plan. And that's all I had to say. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for the call, Scott. Well, Linda, I will ask what was Scott's last question first. Where you're a 501c3, which means you're a not-for-profit. Where are your funding sources?
Oh, sure. Our donor base is very broad-based, and with our first year, most of the donations came from seafood companies. And in this year, our funding is coming from healthcare insurance companies and family foundations that focus on health and wellness. So we're building a broad base of support, but it's definitely natural that the seafood companies would be very supportive of this initiative.
Okay, and Kim, the other parts of Scott's call about the health benefits and all of that, would you like to respond to that?
I'll just say I respect everybody's opinion and their desire to do their own thing for their own optimal health. I applaud people that want to take a proactive stance to be the healthiest they can be. Vegetarianism is just one way to eat smart. You can eat completely smart on a meat-based diet and a seafood-based diet. I know I do. Many, many, many people do. It's all about choosing wisely within each and every food group, lean pork, lean beef, rather than the high-fat cuts, fish, any of them, including the fatty cuts like the salmon, and eating lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains more than white refined grains, and low-fat dairy foods. You know, this is what comprises a smart diet. That can work for many people. It's all what you choose on a day-to-day basis. It's not what you eliminate necessarily.
We are talking about the benefits of eating seafood here on No Limits. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yes. You hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I just want to mention that I just got word of at the farmer's market here at Broad Ripple that this guy comes in from Alaska with frozen seafood, or mainly salmon, and it's Wild Alaska Salmon and Seafood Company. I don't think anybody's familiar with it, but he mentioned, and I also know, that if you freeze fish more than once, the cell walls will break down, and then the nutritional value breaks down. And also that depending on what kind of fish you eat, certain fishes have no food value hardly at all. And I just wonder if that you heard of that.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. I'll see if I can get you an answer. Well, are there certain kinds of fish that really aren't nutritionally beneficial? I mean, you mentioned the four that pregnant women shouldn't eat, Kim.
And that's simply because of the potential to have mercury within the seafood. No, my understanding is that they're all great sources of protein, some healthy fats, different levels of fat, depending on what kind of fish, and all those wonderful vitamins and minerals. So I'm not aware of what he's talking about. Some have more actual cholesterol in them than others, but it's not cholesterol itself that raises your cardiac risk or your risk of heart disease. So I'm not exactly sure what he means by that.
Okay. Is that the other piece of that he said, if fish has been frozen more than once,
oh,
does it do some Linda or Norman? I'm seeing not an answer in Kim's eyes right now. So
at the from a normal food safety and storage perspective, when you have frozen seafood and you defrost it, you should not freeze it again. You should eat it at that point. So he is right in that you shouldn't freeze it a second time. But that's from a food safety standpoint. When you have frozen food and you defrost it, you shouldn't put it back in the freezer. At that point, you should be eating it.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Chris who says, farmed fish are almost all predators and are fed other fish, so-called trash fish, i.e. fish that are quite nutritious but that have not been marketed as fish like pollock have. There is also a problem with the pollution some farmed seafood, such as shrimp, cause from fish feces and other waste. My wife and I both grew up eating a lot of fish. My father sold fish, and my wife grew up fishing off of Long Island. My wife can no longer eat fish because she developed an allergy to, as her husband's told her, the heavy metals and other pollutants in most fish. She ate trout that we caught in the clean waters in northern Maine and had no problem because the fish weren't tainted with pollution. First part of this, you know, what are the challenges of making sure that there isn't a pollution problem or that there aren't other health risks in terms of farming fish, since that seems to be the focus here?
Well, you know, when you look back 20 years, it was a situation where we was farming or taking from the oceans a lot of fish to produce the feed to feed fish. And that's just not the case anymore. Less than 5% of the ingredients in our feed is actually fish. And that's the reason why we like a lot of these plant-type based proteins, whether it be algae, soybeans, nut meal. There's a lot of varieties of proteins now available to grow these fish on. From a pollution standpoint, just for example, our operation, we collect the fish feces and we turn them into a product called worm castings through that process so we can make a viable product for the home gardener. So I think there's an opportunity for all of aquaculture to improve, and it's a fledgling industry in North America. But when you look at North America, we are the most regulated fisheries in the world. So I think we got a good grasp on that within North America.
We've also got a couple of emails here. One from a listener named Brett, who's adding to our list of places that you can find fresh seafood in central Indiana. Joe's Butcher Shop and Fish Market in Carmel has a fantastic selection of fresh seafood. They have great preparation tips as well. The staff is very knowledgeable. And then we've got an email from Dan who says, please encourage listeners to read The Perfect Protein. It contains Top Chef seafood recipes. It also contains an excellent analysis of what it requires to create sustainable fisheries. Its author, Susanna Evans, is a former Oceana staffer who is now a PhD candidate at UNC Chapel Hill. I want to ask, are there certain cookbooks or recipes you would recommend, or how would you get? If it's okay, Dan, I'm going to take your email and use it as a jump-off point. Since part of this is to get people to try fish in ways that they have not before, are there ways that you would recommend that they start? I'll start with Kim, but I'm going to give everybody a crack at that.
I would start with what you like to do, what flavor profile you would like, and I would go to any website that you like to go to for all your other recipes. Personally, I favor Epicurious, Food Network. I love to go to myrecipes.com because that's the portal for Southern Living, Coastal Living, Cooking Light. They have fabulous recipes. All these websites do. For seafood. Plus the Seafood Nutrition Partnership's website, they actually have some recipes there as well. So go to any website you like, go to any cookbook you like, and just look for what you're interested, what flavor you'd like that particular day. And keep in mind, it's fast. Just remember, less than 10 minutes per inch, and you can do so many things with it. In fact, I created this trout recipe that has a chili rub on it. Now, you normally do rubs on beef and pork, but I cooked that on top of the pancake griddle. One of the guys at Bell Farm suggested that I do that. So you don't even need a skillet. You don't even need to grill it. And then I combine it with a pineapple salsa. Another one, I do oven roasting, and I put a breadcrumb mixture on top of it with some mustard and some maple syrup, and you can you can use that fabulous Burton's maple syrup out of Indiana. But it can be anything you want, actually. I mean, you don't have to do fancy things. It's so simple. It's so easy.
Linda, how about you? What's a good place to start?
Definitely, Kim mentioned my website, seafoodnutrition.org, is full of recipes. And I would recommend people start with what they know, and Kim has mentioned that. Start with, if you like tacos, do a fish taco or a shrimp taco. If you like burgers, there are many burgers already pre-made in the grocery store, salmon burgers, tuna burgers, and mahi-mahi burgers. And so it's start with a form of food that you like and substitute a protein with fish and shellfish, and that's a really first great way to start.
Norman.
Well, I believe some of our listeners have provided some good information. You go to about any local seafood shop, they got great recipes there. My other favorite place is YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube?
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
So is there a particular restaurant? But I guess is there a place? What's a fish that people don't think of eating that you would say they should try, Norman?
So I think here in the Midwest, we're used to a lot of fresh fish. But I think some of the harder fish to find around here that they would really like if they don't like seafood is halibut. Halibut's a good fish, a white flaky fish. I think it's a great product to introduce seafood to the Midwest people.
I'm going to say here, we're getting close to wrapping up. So, Linda, I'm going to ask you real quickly for all of you. With this campaign, since it is a specific initiative, are there signposts? What's going to constitute success? I'll start with you, Linda.
Great. Thank you, John. For success for us is really already what we've started on this radio show with you is a dialogue about seafood. I think there are a lot of concerns and questions about seafood, and people do love it, but don't really know how to find a way to get it more into their diet. And so for us, it's building an awareness about the seafood nutrition and also start to help people be aware that they can address their heart disease risk by eating seafood twice a week. And so for us, it's going to be a long-term campaign, and we'll be measuring the effectiveness of our communications as we proceed.
Norman, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think how we measure success is just continued education and visit some of our local farms here in Indiana. All of us work together to make sure we provide tours and then just really educate people on how their product's grown.
Kim, I'm going to give you the last word, and you've got probably about 20, 25 seconds.
I'll just keep it real brief. I just hope success is when more people go to the supermarket, go online to Bell Farms, and get seafood, enjoy it, savor the flavor, have fun cooking it, and get everyone in the family, from small children all the way up to elderly people, enjoying seafood and reducing their risk of cardiac disease.
Well, I think that is an appropriate last word. I'd like to thank all of my guests, Linda Cornish of Seafood Nutrition Partnership. Linda, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Certainly. Norman McCallum of Bell Aquaculture. I'm going to get that right one of these times. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, John.
And Kim Galliez, who's a registered dietitian, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, John.
Also like to thank all of our listeners for their great questions and apologize to those that we were not able to get to. Please do keep trying. You make this a better program when you do call in and send your questions. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.